Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley. Once again, we start today's show, the Champions League. We kick things off at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea taking on Milan, and a great win for Graham Potter's side as they beat the Italian champions comfortably 3-0. Fofana would get his first goal for the club after a goal-mouth scramble in the 24th minute. Aubameyang gets his first Champions League goal in the Champions League for Chelsea in the 56th minute. And then a brilliant finish from Reece James would seal the deal and give Chelsea all 3 points. Crucial, of course, when it comes to qualifying out of this group. Their first win, and it puts them now second, just 1 point off Salzburg, who beat Dynamo Zagreb by 1-0. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Frank LaBeouf's here, Don Hutchinson. Craig, overall, as this game went on, Chelsea got better and Milan got worse.
Well, it looked like it was going to be a tough evening in the first 15 minutes or so. And then once the Fofana goal went in from the set piece, which was ridiculous in itself, because it had three set pieces preceding that.
Yeah.
That, or at least three, maybe two, that Thiago Silva had got his head on every one. The marking was terrible. And yet from the Chilwell corner, the same thing happened. And after that, Milan folded.
Yeah.
They just lost interest. They lost belief, and Chelsea just took over and dominated the game and went on to cruise control. It was chalk and cheese. Milan out the blocks, got punched in the nose, and gave up, basically.
Don't be surprised how quickly kind of Milan capitulated.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, I mean, this Milan side, Dan, have got 9 injuries, 7 first-teamers, so this was nowhere near their full-strength 11, but I expected a little bit more. I thought the game was a little bit flat, to be honest. I thought Aubameyang didn't really do too much until he got his goal. I thought Raheem Sterling was quiet. You see the injury list there. All first-teamers. I mean, Simon Kjær would have played. Mike Maignan would have played in goal. Calabria or Florenzi. Maybe not Zlatan, but definitely Salamakers. Maybe not Origi as well. And there's one or two other players. But apart from when Rafa Leão got the ball in the first 5-10 minutes of the game, I wasn't really off my seat super excited, especially you see what City were doing when they were just thumping Copenhagen. And, you know, it was a stark reminder early on when Rafa Leão got the ball, every time he went at Reece James and he went at that back line, he was electric. He didn't see too much of the ball. They had a little rally towards the end. But I think Graham Potter needed that win, Dan. They were sitting bottom of the group. They needed to get back in touch with Salzburg, who are sitting top of the group. They know going to second. They go potentially into the Wolves game with more confidence than into the return leg in the San Siro next week.
Don kind of makes a good point, Frank. It's difficult to say too much about this game, really.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to be a little bit more enthusiastic than you are, guys, because, you know, I remember the last week I was bored. The week before I was really bored, and the week before still. And the only game that I enjoyed from Chelsea since the beginning of the season was against Spurs, you know, in August. So I have to enjoy that win, because for the first time I saw something. I saw Mason Mount going back to his best. I saw Reece James being there and scoring a fantastic goal on top of performing very well. And I saw Thiago Silva being very good. And at the end of the day, when you win the Champions League 3-0, yes, okay, with Milan with many injuries, but with the job done, you have to enjoy it. I mean, it's a little bit unfair to say it was flat. It's not perfect, far from perfect, but I finally saw something a little bit more enjoyable, in a way that they were a little bit more vertical than they used to be, or they normally are. And I think it's enough for me to be happy until we have the return game next week.
Well, he's got two keepers he can choose from now. He's gone with Kepa. He looks as if he's got...
Yeah, Kepa looked confident today, didn't he?
He looks as if he's got his confidence back. As Frank mentioned, you've got this is the positives. There's a lot of positives. You've got Thiago Silva. Obviously, we know he can marshal the back four, but it's important that the back three. But it's important he does that. Reece James is just becoming a bigger powerhouse by every game. Mason Mount, as the boys mentioned, he's got his confidence back. Looks like he's buzzing again. And Aubameyang, whilst wasn't a brilliant performance, got himself a goal. I think Raheem Sterling's end product again needs to sharpen up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hit and a miss. But I think there's lots of positives from a manager who's not had a bundle of time to work with the players, who is under pressure because he goes into this group, this club, that are struggling to get any momentum. that look as if the Champions League was going to be tough for them. They've got their own fight for the top four. And he's got positions in the field that he needs to fix. You know, defence. It's not just... He just didn't have one problem.
Yeah.
He came into a multitude of problems. A midfield that wasn't functioning. A team that wasn't scoring enough goals. And a team that wasn't keeping clean sheets. And so it's been a big turnaround for him. And I think he's got a little bit of momentum.
Right, right. From a Milan perspective...
You didn't seem very interested with that answer there. You just went, right, right.
Am I ever interested in any of your answers?
I just thought, can at least have showed a little bit more enthusiasm than what Don showed for the game. Just giving you an explanation and you just give me a custard pie.
Don, how much were the injuries offer up an excuse to silence the critics of Milan from this performance?
I think it's fair, Dan. I think it's fair. As I said before, a lot of those guys who are injured would have played. I mean, they've got so many injuries. Mike Maignan's one of the best goalkeepers out there in Europe. The stand-in replacement tonight I thought was awful. As Craig said, from set plays, he was nowhere near dominating his 18-yard box. I think Theo Hernandez is one of the best left-backs in world football. He would have started. Simon Kjær would have probably started as well. Then you go into the front areas, you think Salamakers and Zlatan, maybe not Origi. So there's one or two excuses where you think they're not going to start. But I think we're just looking at a strange old season, Dan. I mean, you know, trying to figure out where everyone's going to finish now until a busy Champions League period where all the games have got to be done, the group stages have got to be done before the World Cup. Then you go into a World Cup and we're trying to figure out who's going to be fit and available and staying behind and which players are going to play. It's just an absolute, you know, it's crazy to think where we could be in two or three months' time. But on the now, I think for Milan, they were nowhere near it tonight.
I get the injuries and it's not easy. But for 20 minutes, they actually passed the ball and they looked good and they got it out to Leao. And he's fast and he's pacey and he's strong and he's direct. And they got a bloody nose, as I said, and they stopped doing it. And it's almost as if they gave up. Now, I understand you're not going to get your best performance with those players, but I don't think there's any excuse for what was no attempts in the second half, certainly not up to the 90th minute. Mm-hmm. None.
Yeah.
This is not acceptable.
No, well, at that point in the game, Chelsea were dominant, weren't they? I mean, Chelsea were in cruise control. I thought Reece James was... I thought he was the best player on the pitch, guys. I thought he was phenomenal.
Yeah, the way he took his goal, Frank, was a bit special, wasn't it?
I mean, that's so clever, the way he decided to shoot, because most players would have to try to find the far post on the floor. And he knew exactly, because goalkeeper nowadays, you know, they're very on their knees, very low in their position. And he shot very high and smashed it. I mean, he's so secure with his technique that he exactly knows where he can find the right spot to beat the goalkeeper. But I do have to give credit to Raheem Sterling on that specific action where he fixed the two defenders and gave a great assist to Reece James as well.
They really have got choices in the wing-back positions. I know Azpilicueta is a different kind of player and he hasn't got the dynamism of Reece James. Who, I agree with the boys, I just think he's a brilliant footballer. And look at the other side. Cucurella was, I can't remember exactly, 60 million, but then Chilwell was back in the side and looked sharp. Yeah. And so he's got wing-back, he's got two choices of wing-back on either side. That's a strong position for them. But Reece James is nailed that right-back slot for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And for England. And, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold is the talk of the town at the moment. For his defensive issues, he's not only got the defensive issues in the international side, he's got competition, huge competition, because Reece James is a super attacking player. He's got everything. I mean, when you're talking about a footballer, he's big, he's strong, he's quick, he's talented, he's got good feet, he can score a goal, he can defend, he can go back and play centre-back in a back three. He could probably play centre-back in a back four. We talk about Alexander-Arnold going into midfield. He could probably go into midfield and do a job. He's such a good footballer. So the world's his oyster at the moment in this sport.
Right. Just a reminder, over on our YouTube channel, plenty more reflections on what happened in the Champions League. Don't forget to go over there and subscribe.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Goals from Rodrigo Vinicius Jr. enough to see Real Madrid take all 3 points with a 2-1 victory over Shakhtar Donetsk at the Santiago Bernabeu. That stretches their lead at the top of the group. They are perfect. 3 wins after 3 games to the defending champions. Leipzig, meanwhile, got their first points of the campaign with a 3-1 victory over Celtic. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Ali Moreno is with us, as is Julien Laurent. Ali, Real Madrid looked to be cruising in this game when they were 2-0 up. What happened?
I suppose it was all too easy all the time for Real Madrid. And while it became 2-1, when Sufco scores a great goal, by the way, what a finish that was from him, you're thinking, how is this game 2-1? How is it possible that the difference between these two teams is just one goal? Because Real Madrid, they had something like 35 or 36 attempts on goal. To be honest with you, it felt like it was 1,000 attempts on goal. They had chance after chance after chance. You can make the argument that Vinicius should have had a hat trick, that Benzema should have had a hat trick, and no exaggeration when I tell you that Real Madrid easily, on an average day, should have won this game 6-7-1. If it was that kind of game for Real Madrid, you thinking that after they score the second goal, which, by the way, let me tell you something about that second goal, the combination between Benzema, Vinicius, Rodrigo, and back to Vinicius, that was some kind of special. That was some kind of delicious there from Real Madrid. And if they're able to recreate that with some sort of consistency, this three playing together, they're going to be fun to watch. Regardless, they score the second goal, and you're thinking, okay, well, of course it's going to be more than this. It's just a matter of how many. And then it wasn't, and it became unnecessarily stressful for Real Madrid. There were some moments in which Modric, the player on the left-hand side for Shakhtar Donetsk with speed, was able to beat Carvajal. He should have taken a shot on goal, did not. And in the end, Real Madrid win it 2-1, but it should have been much more than that.
But I suppose at the end of the day, Jules, it's 3 more points, and it just kind of takes the drama out of qualifying.
Yeah, that's right, and they can qualify now in the next game when they would travel to Poland to play against Shakhtar, and I think that's what Carlo wanted, to be through already with 2 games to go, and then you can rotate, you can rest some players. I guess if you look at the game tonight, maybe you're a little bit worried, a little bit concerned about the lack of efficiency with all the chances they created, not to have been able to score 3, 4, 5 goals, which in a way we saw a little bit against Osasuna, not just on the penalty that Benzema missed at the weekend, but that maybe they were not clinical enough in front of goal. But apart from that, you take the win and then you already move on, obviously, towards the weekend and then having the Clásico at the back of your mind somewhere.
Contrasting fortunes, of course, then, for both of the big La Liga sides. Real Madrid getting that 2-1 victories, dominating certainly in chances, not necessarily in goals. Meanwhile, for Barcelona, that 1-0 defeat against Inter, it's complicated. The Champions is the front page of Sport. Hands up, the front page of Mundo Deportivo.
This is not complicated. That's just a nonsense headline from...
Well, it is complicated.
Well, it's not complicated.
It's complicated for them to qualify now.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yes, that's what I assume.
Well, I thought it was suggesting it's complicated why they didn't get a result.
No, I think it's complicated to qualify. Right. There you are. See, you should trust the fluent Spanish speaker. Xavi, after the game, said, if you're asking how I am, I'm outraged. I don't understand anything. If Ansu handball is involuntary but someone else then scores, it's a goal and they disallow it. As for the other one, Dumfries' possible handball, I just do not understand. It's an injustice. I can't hide it. The referees have to speak. Now, this was immediately after the game, wasn't it, Jules? Have we heard anything from the officials?
No, and we won't, to be fair. I mean, Barcelona are still thinking maybe about going to UEFA for some sort of investigation, some sort of probe. We saw sort of like theories floating around that the referee was from Slovenia, like Alexander Seferin, the UEFA president, and then maybe everything was linked, and I don't think there's a conspiracy there. I think that it was the first one. For me, the Ansu Fati call was the right call because the ball then deflects on his hand into Pedri's path, who then scores. And the Dumfries one is hard to understand why they didn't give this one. It looks like they could not see it. They could not have a footage that was clear enough to see that it touched his hands. So because they could not tell that it was an obvious mistake by the referee, they could not give it. I find that a little bit disappointing because I think it was pretty obvious to me, certainly, that he touched Dumfries' hand. And even Dumfries' reaction could tell you that he touched his hand and that he touched the ball with his hand. So I could see why there's so much outrage from the Barcelona camp.
Two things. One, he's right to be outraged by the non-call. And two, he needs to go away and read up on the laws of the game for the goal that was disallowed, because it can't come off a hand directly leading to your own player scoring a goal. But he is right to question the one that wasn't...
But this is the... Remember they changed this law back in 2021. Accidental handball that leads to a teammate scoring a goal or having a goal-scoring opportunity will no longer be considered an offence.
Well, they've deemed it non-accidental.
That's what they've done, isn't it?
And they've deemed the possession of his hand that it's not an accident, that his hand was up there, it shouldn't have been. And that's the way that they've came to their conclusion.
Mark Clattenburg says it should stand.
Not quite sure what class has been on this week. Or last week or the week before. But I think whilst you can look at these decisions, I think Xavi has some bigger concerns.
Right.
Within his performance.
Yeah. It wouldn't take much, would it, Ali, for the referees to come out and say, this is why. We, as Jules says, we're sat here speculating. Maybe they didn't have the angle. We didn't know what was going on. Release a statement and shut us all up.
Yeah, what I think is troubling and concerning is the fact that today in social media, if you go on Twitter, if you go on Instagram, there's plenty of people posting a shot that makes it very clear to see the contact of the hand of Dumfries onto the ball. And once you see that, you think to yourself, how is it possible then that if we're getting these shots now through Twitter, through Instagram, through social media, I assume, and I guess this is an assumption, and it may be my mistake, but the assumption would be that if people in social media are getting access to these shots, that maybe, just maybe, the VAR officials who have all the angles in the world would have had the same access to these same sort of shots. And that's the part that I don't understand. Is it because they're too afraid of taking too long on VAR in trying to find an answer? Well, take as long as you need to. Of course, we don't want this to break the rhythm of play. But if it is such a critical decision, take your time and get it right, man. Because it changes the dynamics for a team, in this case for Barcelona, and certainly changes the dynamics for Inter as well. It's a major call in a major game. You have to get it right. This is why the system is in place.
I think they should at least have sent the referee to the monitor.
Without a doubt.
At the very least, as Ali said, this is a huge call and a game where Barcelona did not play well. So send the referee to the monitor, and then if he looked at it for 30 seconds and still doesn't think it's a penalty or is unsure, then we know whose decision it was. But he just relied on VAR.
Yeah.
And that was wrong for me.
Jules, as we mentioned yesterday, kind of these decisions are kind of a smokescreen for what was overall a really poor performance from Barcelona.
Yeah, you're right. It was really poor. And I think Lewandowski was poor again. We saw him against Bayern Munich. in the other huge game where you expect him to do well and to carry
the
team.
Yeah, but it's a bit different, isn't it, this time, Jules? He didn't get any supply. Like the Bayern Munich one, he had a nightmare, just a bad night. Yesterday, it wasn't a bad night, he just had no supply.
No, and I think the most concerning maybe is the fact that he had no service, but the fact that really everything came from Ousmane Dembele 1v1 on his right wing. And that it looked like that was all the game plan. So there was no patterns of play, there was no rhythm to the team. It was just give the ball to Ousmane and then let him do his things and he's going to... I think they had 34 crosses. 34 crosses for Barcelona. What is this, Stoke City? Well, I mean, what's going on here? How can you have 34 crosses? I mean, and again, if you had Peter Crouch in the box, then okay, maybe they made sense, or like, I don't know, like a giant guy. But I just didn't see anything in that game apart from give the ball to Ousmane. He's going to cross here and then we hope for the best. And this is not good enough from Barcelona.
But I think there was no room through the middle because they played so narrow, they had so many bodies back there and yeah, they did cross the ball a lot, but here's the deal as well. They had De Vrij, Skriniar and Bastoni, three big strapping centre-halves, so that makes it even more difficult.
Yeah.
But it was difficult to go through the middle. It was so congested.
But the thing was, there just didn't seem to be kind of a plan B, Ali.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about yesterday, the idea that you become so limited in going towards the right-hand side that you forget all about the left-hand side. Hey, how about we switch the point of attack? How about we see something different coming out of the midfield? And I think if indeed you are going to insist and persist on crossing the ball, trying to find Lewandowski or whoever it is that you're trying to find, they may have thought that they were crossing the ball to Luke de Jong. That's seemingly the step back that Barcelona took yesterday. We never actually did see them just whipping a ball in where Bastoni and Skriniar and these guys are first facing their own goal. It was so slow in the build-up that by the time Barcelona got their head up and they were going to cross the ball, these guys were just waiting for it. Never, never, never did Barcelona were able to just turn these guys around and actually defend facing their own goal. So you actually threaten these players and enforce them into a decision that they don't want to make. It was comfortable defending for Inter. Yes, it was a lot of work for them. And yes, they were covering the spaces and moving side to side. But it's comfortable when everything is in front of you.
Finally, Jules, before we let you go, reports that Antoine Griezmann might be able to play 90 minutes a bit more now.
Yeah, I think the negotiation between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid are progressing over a deal that would be half the price that is agreed on this current contract, the release clause of 40 million euros. We're talking more about 20 million euros, which I think Barca would be happy to get from Atletico. I think this is a price that Atletico would be ready to pay and happy to pay for Griezmann. And then obviously he will be permanently an Atletico Madrid player. They will take charge of all the wages, which is not the case right now, by the way. So I think, and finally, as you said, for him, it will be kind of freedom. He won't have to be restricted in terms of minutes and game time. He will be able to play as much as Diego Simeone would want him to be. So it will be the end of a very weird few months where, again, he either could come on for the last half hour or start, but if he was to play the whole game, could not play the game after, which was a crazy situation. So it looks like we're at the end of the tunnel for Antoine Griezmann.
Jules, thank you. Just a reminder, El Clasico is almost upon us. One of the biggest games in world of football, live for you on ESPN Plus, October 16th, a week on Sunday. Coverage starts at 9:15 Eastern. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
PSG dropped their first point of the Champions League campaign as they could only manage a 1-1 draw away against Benfica in Portugal. Let's just take a look at what that means for the standings. Well, Benfica, of course, started well as well, so they are now level on 7 points apiece. Juventus got their first victory of the campaign, beating at Maccabi, but still with a lot of work to do to catch the top two. Jules and Frank are with us. Should we start with Messi or start with the game, Jules?
I think we have to start with Messi and another moment of magic. We saw his free kick at the weekend against Nice in the league at the Parc des Princes, but that was even more special. The triangle with Neymar and Mbappe, that incredible finish with his left foot. A moment in the game quite early on, 22nd or 23rd minute, where Benfica were pressing really well, pressing hard, recovering the ball, and PSG were a little bit under pressure. That was really the first moment where they managed to actually get something and put a good move together. And for him to finish like that was outstanding. He had another great game today. And even if PSG could not get a win, although they had a very good second half, I think Messi will once again show that he was the most important player in that team.
He's flying at the moment, Frank.
He is. And fortunately for Paris Saint-Germain, because the first half was absolutely under the pressure of Benfica. And Benfica, I mean, it was very unfair for Benfica to be 1-0 down. But the action from Messi, he got the ball from Hakimi and found Mbappe, then Mbappe found Neymar, and Messi got the ball back. But the spirit that he has right now, what he does, and especially the second half, how he led the team, is the Messi that we know at his best with Barcelona. That's simply that. He physically is back to his best, and of course, technically, he didn't lose anything.
What's changed, Jules?
Well, for Messi, I mean, I think he's happier in Paris to start with. The family has settled in now completely. Last season was wobbly because there were so many new things, the kids at school. We mentioned, we said the story, even the dogs were not happy. Antonella, of course. Messi, the way the team was playing, Pochettino played him wide, which doesn't suit him now anymore at 34. He can't do on the wing what he used to. Now Galtier playing more centrally, where he touches more of the ball, where he's got more freedom in a way. And this is much better for him. On top of the family being happier at the club, there's also the World Cup, and we cannot minimize the fact that he's also this good and this motivated to be fit and super ready and in super great form for the World Cup with Argentina. I don't know what the second half of the season will bring from him, but you know that he's in that kind of form as well because he's got this objective of the World Cup in Qatar in his mind. So there's a few things like that. I think players around him are better. I think the system is better for him and the team. And I think that's why he came back early from holidays. He did a full preseason like he should have done the season before, but didn't do because of the move. So that's the reason why he's almost back to his best.
Did I hear that right?
What's that?
I don't think I did. Did you say even his dogs were unhappy? Did you say that?
Hey, you always say Jill's best finger on the pulse.
How the hell do you know that? I've got three dogs.
Well, they're all unhappy. They're stuck with you.
Does Lionel Messi? I mean, I know he's got sublime talent. He's unbelievably talented individual. But even he can't walk in and go, struggling with the move to Paris, I see. To the dogs.
Well, he might be at Hung Dog Expression. Looking out the window.
I've got three dogs. How the hell do I know when they're happy?
So that begs the question, Jules. Obviously, we saw yesterday that tweet put out from an Argentinian journalist saying that Messi will be a Barcelona player in 2023.
Can't move the dogs again.
Did the dogs call her? What happened?
I think Hulk would be much happier in the house in Barcelona than he is in the house, or than he was last season in the house in Paris. Going back to Barcelona is an option. There's no doubt. Right. I think the club as prepared for some room, some space in the wage bill to accommodate Messi's huge wages. There's obviously that third season, the extra season in his contract in Paris that can only be triggered by the £2. So Messi has to agree to it and PSG have to agree to it. And in Paris, they're hoping that they can convince him to extend the contract. There's obviously MLS and Inter Miami that are also an option. What we know for sure now is that Messi is saying to everybody and the Messi clan, nothing will be talked about or debated or decided before 2023. So the World Cup, he wants nothing to do with transfers or future before the World Cup. Everything will be from January onwards. And then I think he will decide what move is best for him, whether it's to stay, go back to Barcelona or go to MLS.
It's going to go on, Craig.
Yeah, but no, this just has amused me today. The best thing I've heard today. It's got to be the greatest excuse for any footballer if it ever happened. You know, we've all been into a manager's office and said, I'm not happy at the club, I'm not playing, or I don't like my teammates, or indeed, the family have not settled, or the wife's not happy here. But I'd love to be a fly in the room to the man that walks in or the woman that walks in and says, listen, I can no longer stay at this club because the dog hasn't settled.
That's it.
That is. I'm going to go home now today. I got to go.
Frank, what would you do if you were Messi?
Well, next year, you mean?
Yes, not with the dogs.
I think stay.
Yeah. Well, you know, because Craig is keeping on telling the story again. So maybe it was about the dog. No, seriously, I think Messi is back to his best and he settled very well. I think it would be nice to carry on. I'm not sure with the result in Champions League that we see that he's going to get the best with Barcelona and get back to a possible Champions League trophy. With Paris Saint-Germain, he can hope for that, where I don't think it's going to be possible in Barcelona. If he goes to MLS and Inter Miami, it's a pre-retirement decision, with all due respect for the MLS. But that's what he's going to have to think about. As Jules said, I think he's completely right to wait for the end of the World Cup and to see what's going to happen with him. I think if he feel fit like he is right now, he has to stay to Paris Saint-Germain. That's the club that he can hope for another Champions League. Otherwise, it would be Manchester City. I'm not sure Guardiola is ready to get him.
No, I don't think I see him at Man City. And I echo what Stevie said yesterday. It's his legacy at Barcelona is sublime.
Yep.
I mean, there's not enough superlatives to talk about it. Why go back as an older player? You've made the move, you've made the change, and, you know, you could be at a very successful team, so I would not go back.
What kit can we expect on Thursday's Gavin Jules podcast, Jules?
Well, we talk about the Inter-Barcelona game and all the fallout, everything. Plus, we'll have loads of Champions League reaction, results, analysis, all of that with Gab on the show.
Thank you very much, mate. Just a reminder that the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast will drop on Thursday. Be sure to check that out over on the website.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester City cruise to a 5-0 victory over Copenhagen as expected, really. Also as expecting, Erling Haaland would score not one but two. He was taken off at half-time. Riyad Mahrez then with a penalty. Alvarez as well getting on the score sheet as Manchester City continued their fine run of late. And talking of fine runs, 22 Champions League matches for Erling Haaland in his career. He scored 28 goals. It's an average of 1.27 a game. Look, as much as you can diminish stats, those are a bit special, Craig.
They are, but I mean, they took him off at half-time in this game because, quite frankly, his performance just wasn't good enough.
He got the hook. He didn't get a first-half hat-trick. That was it. Off you go,
son. He only got two goals. He terrorised the Copenhagen defence. He got the hook. But, for a man so young...
Do you think he'd mind being taken off?
No.
There's surely a little bit, you know what he's like. Probably yeah, a little bit of him wants a hat.
I know, but I think, you know, Guardiola will be saying to him, listen, hey, this game's won. Bigger games to come.
Yeah.
Can't afford to not have you fit. See the common sense side of it. He was on the pitch.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? After the game, going on the pitch and applauding
fully
the fans.
Fully clothed, showered, yeah. And going around just, you know, shaking hands with the opponents and his teammates and the referee. So he's delirious at the moment. He can't get any happier. He's made this big move. Of course, there was a few people waiting for him to fall flat on his face. Oh, this big move, you know, the pressure, playing in England, you can't do it. It's not. There's always somebody out there, and he's just come in and obliterated anyone who even thought for a smidge that he was going to struggle. So for him, it is a perfect scenario at the moment.
We talk about him a lot, actually, on Extra Time, so sure to check that out. So this is how Group G stands after the three matches that we've seen take place already. Manchester City, 3 points clear of Borussia Dortmund, who thrashed Sevilla at the Sanchez-Pizjuan. Lopetegui sacked as a result of that game and what's just been a horrible start to the season for the Spanish side overall. They sit on 1 point alongside Copenhagen. Meanwhile, it's the big one in Germany this weekend, isn't it, as Borussia Dortmund take on Bayern Munich in Der Klassiker. That game is live on ESPN Plus at 12:30 Eastern. More news, meanwhile, coming out of Germany today. Xabi Alonso is the new coach at Bayer Leverkusen, the former Liverpool and Real Madrid midfielder, taking over a team that has really struggled so far this season. Meanwhile, action in the Championship. Oh, no, sorry, La Liga promo as well. It all kicks off on Friday. Osasuna taking on Valencia. Saturday sees the Mini Madrid derby. Getafe against Real Madrid. And on Sunday, it's Barca against Celta Vigo. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Craig with us, as is Frank. Don Hutchinson as well. Don, we've got to start with the picture, of course, and went viral of you over the internet as... Well,
that Hannibal Lecter.
Look at the state of that, Don.
Don, what's going on here, Don?
Well, I got asked to work for BT on the Goal Show, so I was up against a pretty good-looking panel. Julien Laurent was on there. A few of the guys were on there that I know, and I thought I'd better up my game a little bit. I fancied a trim. Went to my Turkish barber's. Next thing I know, he's got the hot wax on. He's got the ears done. He's put a mask on. I actually quite enjoyed it. For 30 quid, I thought, why not? Let's do it.
But why would you not make the effort when you come on this show?
Well, I've made a bit of an effort. I've got a suit on tonight, Daniel.
Well, you said
I can't have a facial every single day. I mean, you know, once every 3 or 4 months is not bad.
And what were the two things protruding from your nostrils?
So hot wax up there, Craig.
And for the nasal hair.
Yeah, and then you dump, bam, painful. All the hair's gone, finished, no more.
Should we send Stevie?
Oh, that'd be brilliant for Stevie.
Beard out.
Okay, Don. How do you feel about picking Liverpool to win the title over City because of one pre-season friendly? This, of course, now famously after the Community Shield, you changed your mind.
I did. Well, you know me, Dan. I'm very emotional. And I thought City before the game, worked on the game, seen how brilliant Liverpool were against Man City and completely flipped it on its head and went, no, it's Liverpool's this time. Just because of the fact that the both of them over the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years, have been phenomenal. Liverpool missed that twice by 1 point, and I thought it was going to be tight. I didn't see them getting off to this start. I don't think anyone did. So it was an emotional decision.
And one you regret?
Well, obviously. I mean, you know, you pick Liverpool to win the league, and all of a sudden they're battling for top four. Looks a little bit foolish.
Well,
have you ever heard of any player moving to a different club? And it's not the family that are unsettled. This is serious. It's not the family that are unsettled. It's the dog or dogs. Was it dogs?
Dogs, yeah. Messi's dogs weren't happy in Paris. They've settled down now.
Julien Laurent, our colleague, was on earlier and suggested Messi's playing better now this year because everything's settled down now. And last year, his kids were finding new schools, understandable. His wife was settling in. And his dogs weren't happy.
There you go.
My Don. Days. My days.
Frank, you'd have to consult your cats, yeah? Your cat Miami?
Yeah. Well, you know, if the cat is not happy, he has to tell me because I will move immediately. That's for sure. Yeah. The problem is that we have a problem of communication. He doesn't know which language he speaks, though, so we have a problem right now. But I want to make sure that he's happy.
Cats are never happy, really, are they? Dogs love it.
The dog's not.
For Dan, do you think Haaland is a one-season wonder, like you said about Harry Kane? No, I do not think he's a one.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Back in the day. Back in the day. Wow. I said he was a
but
one
you were
season.
Emotional. You were emotional. It's why you say that.
Yeah, exactly. It was emotional. But I think it's helped motivate him to the levels he's now achieved. For the boys, over or under 50 total goals scored this season by Erling Haaland?
What's he got? 17?
17 at the moment, isn't it?
Over under 50. Where are we? September, October, World Cup.
Under.
Under?
Yeah. 49.
Yeah, 49.
What do you think, Frank?
45.
In all competitions?
Yes.
Yes, over 50. If he carries on like that, funny. He's going to break all records.
It's quite funny. We were watching, we had three of the big screens on. And we had the Chelsea game in the middle.
Yep.
The Real Madrid game to our left, and the Man City Copenhagen game to the right, and was mainly watching the Chelsea game because that was kind of the bigger game. And every now and again, this big Norwegian just kept popping up.
He
started laughing, and he'd start laughing. I watching Chelsea, he'd start laughing. And I'd look over, and there's this giant Norwegian guy running away. And I'm like, oh my God.
So, Don, there's a bet that's doing the rounds at the moment, yeah? Constantly listens to this. So, someone before the start of the season put £15 on Erling Haaland to score over 40 goals at 100-1. The bookies are offering him now £600 to cash out. Now, these are Premier League goals. Would you take the £600 now?
Take the six.
Wait and to see if you get the £1,500 if he gets 40.
Oh, I think you'd have to leave it, Dan. I think you'd have to. I mean, the guy, I mean, I don't know if you've seen Jack Grealish's interview tonight after the game. And every time he got asked about Erling Haaland, he just kept laughing. He went, it's just incredible. And he said the Copenhagen goalkeeper whispered in his ear, is that guy human?
Yeah.
And it's just like the memes that you're seeing. I mean, you know, social media tonight, every time he was banging a goal and he was beating someone's record, he bangs in two, he's beating someone else's record. He's taking Champions League records away from all of the best strikers across Europe. And he's what, 22, 23? It's ridiculous. The numbers that he's produced, leave it. You're going to win the money. Leave it.
The Manchester City official Spanish account, I think it was, tweeted out, Erling Haaland has scored. It doesn't matter when you read this. Which I thought was quite apt.
Well, they took him off at half time. Yeah. It just wasn't fair.
That was it.
It's not. Yes, the goals. I know he scores goals.
Yeah.
Because every time I see him, I just can't believe how big he is.
Yeah, you kept saying it.
I mean, it's huge.
Look at the size of him.
I've seen a breaking news strap on my phone about an hour into the game, and it went breaking news: Erling Haaland has not scored.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's just...
Because it was taken off.
Guys, don't forget that he is absolutely very well served by, for example, De Bruyne or Grealish and top of everybody else, you know, because it's not only him. Yeah, he's huge. Yeah, he scored goals. But when you see all the players, Cancelo and everybody, you know, how they serve him, he has every time the possibility to score a hat-trick every game he plays. So it's not only him. Because, well, we don't want to curse him. We don't want him to be injured, but that's a possibility as well. But I never seen him scoring this amount of goals since he played for Dortmund. He scored many goals, but not like that. It's because, of course, and most of the time, because of his teammates.
Is he going to win your favourite Ballon d'Or, Frank?
Shut up. Next question.
Tell you what.
Do you think Pep knew he was going to be this good and score this many goals?
Yeah, wow. Do you see Guardiola's face in the side whenever to me he's like that? Ooh, which is I'm just going to go and get a cup of tea.
No, but it's funny. It's funny that he didn't want to play with a striker. He didn't want to play with a striker for like 2-3 seasons. And now he found that striker and he's laughing about it because I think he must think to say to himself, why did I wait so long to do that?
Yeah.
Well, he wanted Kane, and I think he had Aguero, and he wasn't always fit. So I think he had to sort of muster something up different. But I think he always really wanted to get somebody in that position. I'd love to have seen Dennis Wise with him.
Right.
Old school. It would have started in the tunnel, but it would just have been super fun to... Because we... I've seen it.
Right. He's, just explain to people who don't know who Dennis Wise is.
Dennis was a very diminutive midfielder, very good player, Chelsea captain.
He was the same size as Julian Laurent, yeah?
Just slightly smaller than Julian and slightly taller than you.
Right.
So he was about the same height as you. Very argumentative, very feisty, fierce competitor, lots of gob, lots of mouth, lots of wind-up, and knew all the dirty tricks in the book. Right, everyone. All the dirty tricks.
Yeah, and he scored a beautiful goal against Milan in Champions League the last time we played in San Siro. We drew 1-1. The control that he made and the goal that he scored with his left foot was absolutely magical. So please respect Mr. Dennis Wise, Mr. Burley, please.
Oh no, I'm telling a story about how I'd like to see them in the tunnel before the game.
Because he would always be mouthy to the opponent.
Because he probably is up to about Erling Haaland's shin pad. Right? But you can trust me. He's telling Erling Haaland before the game.
Yeah, with Jody Morris and Gianfranco Zola, it has to be seen. Yes, for sure.
He's going to smile. He'll be pulling his... He'd go up behind him and he'd start pulling the hairs in the back of his legs.
Oh, really?
He'd love doing that.
Oh, my God.
And it used to annoy people. But, I mean, I think some players are frightened of him.
Right.
Plus, it's in the modern game, you can't really just give him the old smash now, can
you? Don, it's interesting because Craig brought up Harry Kane, who you, of course, said was 100% going to Manchester City. That never materialised. Mm-hmm. Would he be anywhere near these numbers?
Potentially, yeah. But I just think you're looking at Haaland, and I just think he makes you laugh because he's just, I don't want to say unorthodox, but I don't think there's anyone like him. I think the beauty about football is you can see young kids coming through, and you can always say, oh, he plays like him, and he plays like him, and you think... You know, you watch Erling Haaland play, and probably the only one there's a smidgen in is Zlatan, just because of his size and his nice arrogant streak that he's got. But you watch him, and it's like in a funny way, it's like it's unfair because he's bigger, taller, faster than anyone else. It's like when you watch him playing in the Premier League, it's like he's playing against under 12s. Because he's faster, and his interviews are amazing. Where he said, "No one will stop me if my runs are perfect. The ball from De Bruyne and Cancelo, etc. He went, "No one can stop me." And then you see the goals that he gets tonight. The sort of little scruffy ones. He's got the worldy finishes. He's got he can jump 12 feet in the air, and his limbs are just amazing. And he's leggy, and he's long, and he's big, and his power. He's just got the lot. It's amazing to watch him play.
Do you know people are going to get really angry with this?
Why?
Because sometimes they think it's a love-in with certain people. The people get really angry.
But why can we not have a love-in with people? We can't be...
I'm not suggesting we can't. I'm suggesting people just don't like that kind of stuff. Some of them. Weirdos. But I tell you the other thing, you didn't know this. In his Man City contract, City have to find him a house with a really large back garden with a big shed at the bottom.
This is a shed for Jan?
You're correct. And the sheds to have no windows... Right?
Yeah.
But as Fjortov's residence.
I'm going off topic, and I know, but I'm just intrigued, Frank. Who would you prefer, Haaland or Mbappe?
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh, la la. Oh, la la la. Ho, ho. I have to say Mbappe, otherwise the French press is going to kill me.
Almost got you. Nearly.
No, I mean, it's so difficult to choose. I mean, that would be unfair to anyone. Yes, of course. Yeah, got it done. I just want to go back because the question is stupid. I can't answer to that. But the thing is, you know, when I saw Ibrahimovic coming to the Ligue 1, of course, it's another level comparing to the Premier League, but that's the impact that I saw when I see now with Alan. I saw the guy doing and scoring goals that I never seen before. He's playing karate. He did karate before, and he was scoring like that with the soul of his stats. You know, that was crazy. I saw stuff that I never seen in football, putting his legs so high. That's the impact that Alan makes. I mean, that's amazing because he's only 23. Yeah, he's huge. He's a huge guy. But Mbappe is fast, really fast.
Haaland's not slow, though. He's got that pace over, over just 5 or 10 yards. Compare,
who would Neymar prefer? Who would Neymar prefer?
Okay, obligatory percentage question for Don. Percentage chance you give City or PSG to win the Champions League this season?
Well, City, I mean, they've got to be favourites. I mean, it has to be. PSG, I'm never sold on, Dan. I'm not, because I know they've got the superstars and I know they've got Messi and they've got Neymar and they've got Mbappe. You just can't rely on them in the quarterfinals.
Percentages, Don. I've wasted too much time talking about Haaland.
Percentages for PSG, I would say 20%. And it's got to be a good 80, I think, for City.
Don's so only City or PSG winning the Champions League, that's it?
No. But I just think City have to be a ridiculously high number.
No, but the percentage you've given us, Don, means that no one else has got a chance.
Well, then that's impossible, because I'd say I'd be going into 20s and 19s and 18s and 22s and just that my brain would be frazzled.
Well, it's already frazzled today, because Don, I don't know if you know this, Daniel, but Don's already had a numbers fumble today.
Well, what did he do?
Well, and he had it written down, and he posted it on his Twitter account. He was working out the average age of the Celtic side going into the game against RB Leipzig.
Okay.
Yeah. And he may have made an error, which was pointed out.
Brilliant.
By Tony Jones, the commentator.
Why even try the maths, Don? You know it's not your strong point.
See what happened, Dan, right? One of my twins, Dougie, is really into his football and he loves helping me with my homework.
Don't blame one of the twins.
No, it's on me. But little Dougie, bless him, he likes to do the highlighting marker and he likes to do this, that and the other. So I said to him, I said, Dougie, get the calculator. I said, just add these numbers for me. And I went, right, he's 21, he's 22, he's 23, he's 27. I went, divide that by 11, and it was like 25. Then I went, right, Joe Hart's about a million, so that doesn't really count in goal. Let's do it times 10. But he didn't, he still done it by 11. And I went on social media and I went, my calculations say that Celtic's average age tonight is 22. Yeah. And
can't believe it. How old's Dougie? You're throwing your six-year-old under the bus?
Yep. Six. Yeah, under the bus. And a commentator put me straight and he said, I think you find your maths are incorrect. The average age is 24.
Have we got time for more? Do you want us to stop now?
Yeah, I do, yes. Yes.
What was that? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, ask me.
What's that?
Stop.
No, we got time for one more. If whole management of refs knows about at the end of the game that they made serious errors during the game which decided the match, how should the team who suffered a loss actually be compensated?
Sorry, because we just changed the graphic there. And I don't listen to you.
Oh, we haven't got time. Either. That's it. ESPN FC back.
Poor person.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen the question.
It's there.
I've got my glasses.
How do you compensate a team that's been let down by referees, if the referees admit they made a mistake?
You can't, because it's happened for a month ago, a year ago, 5 years, 10 years. It happens. It's human error, judgments, and you can't unless it's a clear discretion against a side on purpose.
Yep.
It's just a basic human error, so you can't. It's part and parcel of the sport, which we hope that VAR would eradicate. But it hasn't eradicated it fully.
Right.
That's the answer to your question.
That's it. They're turning off the screens now. We're done. Thank you very much, Don. Thank you, Frank. We will be back tomorrow. Some Europa League matches for us to reflect on.